This is Proud Consciousness, a podcast series on the fundamentals of the progressive utilization theory, Prout. The series is presented by Prabhakar Overland.
Welcome to episode 13 of the Proud Consciousness series, where we will take a look at the third fundamental principle of the progressive utilization theory. Here, we shall see how Prout accelerates socioeconomic dynamics by utilizing all individual and collective potentialities at the maximum, and not only focuses on some resources of the external world. First, how does capitalism and socialism utilize human potentialities? As in everything, capitalism's perspective is short-term. The reason for capitalism's myopic perspective on the utilization of human potential is its chronic profit thirst. It is obsessed with placing commercial values on resources and finds no profit in educating an entire population. Instead, it focuses on acquiring the particular human resources it thinks it needs in order to amass more and more crude capital. Subtle and sublime wealth in themselves hold no import to capitalists. They are valuable only to the extent that they are able to increase crude capital holdings. Socialism, on the other hand, subjects the entire population to an egalitarian regime with little or no scope for individual adjustment. As the common denominators of life are found more easily in the physical sphere and only with some difficulty in subtler and more sublime spheres, the scope of socialist education remains practically materialist. Thus, under socialism, human beings and their society remains a materialistic machine with little or no concern for psychic and spiritual wealth. Prout's third fundamental principle reads, there should be maximum utilization of physical, metaphysical, and spiritual potentialities of unit and collective bodies of human society. This principle introduces a new factor, the metaphysical, which needs to be clarified. The term metaphysical means above or beyond the limitations of the physical. The metaphysical is the problem-solving mind of individuals and the collective, the endeavor to overcome the challenges of the physical world in order to make life nice, smooth, and conducive to further progress. The metaphysical includes all kinds of mundane discoveries, inventions, processes, and achievements, such as good hygiene, proper diet, constructing a vehicle, structuring traffic, looking into ecological causes and effect, etc. It is the psychic part of us directing our physical world. The metaphysical is the purely mental mind, not the primitive instinctual. The primitive instinctual mind, addressed by Prout's first fundamental principle, directs itself towards primal needs, crude desires and urges. When we are hungry, crude instinct informs us it is time to get something to eat. The metaphysical mind, on the other hand, is able to suggest improved, studious ways of solving such physical problems and challenges. It is more analytical than impulsive. For instance, we tend to eat on most days, so why not fulfill this perennial need by securing a steady supply of foodstuffs by local cultivation of fruits, vegetables, and whatever else we require for the preparation of our meals. Such is the reasoning of the metaphysical mind and the art of cooking, engineering, architecture, the sciences of mathematics and physics, etc., are all of metaphysical nature. Some schools of philosophy may have associated metaphysics mainly with the parapsychological, means with realities beyond the conscious mind of most people. To Prout, the metaphysical is not at all inaccessible, but the practical mind of living beings dealing with their environment in order to make it more practical and amendable to their perceived needs. Prout differentiates between metaphysics, as just explained, and the lofty psycho-spiritual, which takes the mind into the purely spiritual by way of properly concentrated contemplation. While most people do live an active metaphysical life, not all engage effectively in the psycho-spiritual sphere, where progress requires subtle and sustained effort to achieve tangible results. A trend of current metaphysics, though, is precisely the recognition of the significance of the psycho-spiritual. Today, increasing numbers of notable thinkers and people at large are not only rationally analytical, but psycho-spiritually attuned and determined due to having taken up spiritual practices in their daily life. Early humans were busy with doing their very best to survive in the hostile external environment they found themselves in. The accumulated practical experience of the human beings of some million years ago was probably very small. They were the early pioneers of metaphysical exploration and invention. With external experience comes internal development. Gradually, the human structure, its brain, nervous system, and build grew larger, stronger, and more complex, and thereby able to detect and deal with still more subtle and sublime external and internal realities. In broad historical terms, it is only quite recently that we began to develop educational resources systematically, resulting in formal training, academic study, and normative scientific research. Prior to that, knowledge and skills were passed on by and large within families. Prout joins in the modern effort to make all kinds of knowledge and experience universally available, aiding the trend of enlightenment by introducing a socio-economic system that benefits from, and most importantly, stimulates the utilization of subtle and sublime potentialities. Whereas the supramundane discussed in the preceding episode exists beyond the crude external, the metaphysical is the individual and collective purely mental mind directing itself at utilizing physical potentialities. The metaphysical is a psycho-physical approach to adjusting the external environment with perceived needs, whereas the supramundane is physico-psychic phenomena, the external environment triggering or awakening subtle and sublime sense in us. Beyond the metaphysical and the supramundane is the spiritual. It means that beyond the rational, analytical, metaphysical mind are layers of still subtler and more sublime mind, pure psychic and various stages of psycho-spiritual mind. These deeper states of mind are accessible by various means. Some experience such mind by way of supramundane glimpses in supreme beauty, profound presence, and any other expression of greatness in nature and in human expression. Such short-lived glimpses remain memories only. Others develop their minds by regular effort and achieve those states in permanence. It is theirs to have forever. When spiritual consciousness is awakened and firmly established, it informs the metaphysical mind of potential directions it may take for further progress, such as in areas of law, aesthetics, the arts, in socioeconomics and civil and cultural life in general. The spiritual does not annihilate diversity, but works through it. As such, not only the entire world, but every locality and individual will benefit from subtler and sublime developments of individual and communities. Greater awareness and higher consciousness can only enlighten and illuminate our existence, and such progress will continue to enrich human life and our influence in the world. The Irish poet William Butler Yeats stated mystically, "The world is full of magic things, patiently waiting for our senses to grow sharper, To that, the 14th Dalai Lama added, "Happy people build their inner world, unhappy people blame their outer world." Since the spiritual bears significantly on the development of culture, the arts, social life, and law, there is no reason why anybody should leave this sphere of existence untouched. Rather, it is humane to evolve spiritually as well as in any other way. Practically, our emerging global world requires a unified framework that will work for all, in the absence of which the world will work for none. Only the spiritual has the capacity to provide sentiments and outlooks sufficient to unite all of humanity in a common world. So, in the interest of our future democratic global world, everybody should put in an effort to develop spiritually as well. So there you have it, the third fundamental principle of Proud. There should be maximum utilization of physical, metaphysical, and spiritual potentialities of unit and collective bodies of human society. Whereas the second fundamental principle of Proud addresses the need for peak employment of the external objective environment, this third principle focuses on peak engagement of the subjective, of the potentialities of persons. There are at least two significant aspects to this concept of maximum utilization of unit and common physical, metaphysical, and spiritual potentialities. First, the engagement should be at the maximum. Even those who are unable to participate in conventional work due to old age or any other vital hindrance should be included socially, culturally, spiritually, and in any way that adds to individual and collective existence. Nobody should be made to feel that they have been chipped out and left behind in humanity's grand passage towards the fulfillment of all. Indeed, it behoves the powerful, men and women of rare competences, to ensure that even those of little understanding and poor skills evolve properly on the great path of all-round progress. The key of Prout's symphony, the primary color of its palette of universal thought, the common chord in its human tapestry, is the progress of the weak and unfortunate turning into the triumph and real strength of all. Here, Prout heralds that the good of every person lies in developed society, and the other way around, the good of the community lies in the proper development of every one of its members. Second, diversity is our strength. No trend or movement has ever benefited from monoculture and prolonged control by domineering dispositions and prejudices. By allowing all to express, and not only have a privileged few prevail and enjoy at the fatal expense of all others, Prout taps into new and hitherto undiscovered reservoirs of energy and wisdom. Not only is the human mind largely unexplored, but its gradual coming to light will add greatly to the physical sciences, as well as paving the way for fresh development in the fields of sociology, politics, psychology, and others of great importance to the survival and further evolution of life on Earth. This dimension of Prout is discussed further in the following episode 14, where we look at the need to continuously adjust our utilizations of various potentialities. But what good will it do, you may ask, if people sit around mulling over existence profundities? Since antiquity, hermits and probably all sorts of freaks have shed the duties of family and social life and run for the hills, but did it ever do the world any good? For every known philosopher of history, there must be thousands, if not millions, of idle thinkers who spent their time spacing out instead of performing their social duties properly. And if at all they come up with genuine insights and realizations of real worth, Why did they choose to keep it to themselves, far removed from the general mass, not share it with all for the common good of progress of all? Why did they choose to become intellectual and spiritual capitalists instead of sharing their precious, subtle and sublime riches with others? Did such escapism and selfishness ever take humanity further on the path of progress? Prout's reply to it is that there is no reason for seekers and wannabe philosophers to leave hearth and home. Truth can be discovered, explored, and most importantly, realized wherever one chooses to live. If truth is universal, where would it not exist? We should embrace the universality of true human spirit. Our world and all in it will only be the... Prout holds that truth is that which never changes. It always remains in the same condition throughout eternity. Sri Sarkar commented that not only is truth unchangeable throughout eternity, but it is also unlimited. There is nothing beyond it. It does not change from place to place. Truth remains the same, whether somewhere or in another place, whether in one person or the other, whether at one time or another. The expression of truth may vary, but the essence remains the same. Truth is what expedites progress towards life's supreme goal, and truth is the essence of that same goal. Thus, truth is not affected by changes and variations in time, place, and person, and Prout is embedded in this truth. Notions of changes and variations over time, from place to place and from person to person, without understanding or realizing the essence of such changes and variations, is what is called relative truth. Any worldly notion of reality is relative truth, as is any purely psychic appraisal of it. The physical and psychic are always subject to variations in time, place, and persons, and they are therefore relative. Relative truth appears somewhere at a particular time to a particular person. It is our reality, and it is relative and not absolute. It changes all the time. This is truth, and the essence of this truth is that sublime existence is found everywhere, and its sublimity is the goal of all life. Historical events are also relative truth. An incident which happens on Earth in the last century is a historical event, but as the light from Earth will not have reached another planet for some 100 years, on that planet, the event has not yet occurred. It is like a fire that has started in one room of the house but not yet spread to other rooms. In one part of the house, people are highly aware of fire, whereas people elsewhere are ignorant of the impending danger. Thus, historical events also depend on time, place, and person and are changing from time to time, place to place, and person to person. None of it can be called absolute truth. Even what is regarded as right, wrong, sin or crime somewhere may not be viewed in the same way elsewhere. Just take the case of minority rights, issues of race, gender, religion, law, etc., etc. As discussed earlier in the series, the individual and collective are among the most hotly debated issues of socioeconomics. Those who attach all importance to individuals alone are all out to establish individualism to the utter exclusion of collective interests. According to them, the individual knows best where his or her welfare lies. That is why he or she must be liberated from all social bondages. All efforts of the individualist will be directed towards the sole purpose of complete fulfillment of his or her individual ends. Those who differ contend that it is the collectivity that alone matters. The individual has to be sacrificed for the collectivity because no individual interest but collective welfare and advancement constitute the keynote of the social endeavor. In reality, the individual and the collective are inseparably connected. A garland of flowers and its individual flowers both have their importance and significance. The development of the individual is the first requisite for promoting collective welfare. But while utilizing individual resources, collective welfare should be the principal objective. In this, Prout can be branded neither as individualism nor collectivism. It is a happy blending of individual liberty and collective interest. The late Prout thinker Raghunath Prasad commented, "In order to benefit the collective body, its individuals will be provided with physical essentials and amenities on strength of their purchasing power earned in employment. Prout's principle is not to fix a minimum salary per se. The range of salaries should in all cases emerge from the purchasing capacity required to secure the minimum necessity of life via amenities for all to special amenities for the meritorious deriving from the surplus after having secured the universal minimum necessities and general amenities. Prout's wise employment and earning policies will secure the optimal development of the physical potential of the individual, a proper sense of collective and corporate life, a sense of service and sacrifice beyond education, will evolve and develop the metaphysical aspect of individuality and consequently the collective mind." Quote ended. When all physical, metaphysical, and spiritual potentialities of society would have been maximum developed, society at that stage only can be claimed as full-fledged and highly evolved. As such, the society will have to be developed in all aspects and not only in a particular sphere. The three kinds of wealth referred to in this third principle, physical, metaphysical, and spiritual, are the wealth of human society. They will have to be harnessed for the general good of the world. The totality of physical might of the entire humanity is its physical wealth. Similarly, the entirety of the intellectual potentiality of all human beings constitutes the metaphysical potentiality, while the spiritual wealth implies the sum total of all unit consciousness. Thus, a well-knit social order is to be ushered in, making the best use of physical, metaphysical, and spiritual potentialities. We conclude this episode with comments by the theory's propounder, Shri Prabhat Ranjan Sarkar. The collective body, collective mind, and collective spirit must be developed. One must not forget that collective good lies in individuals and individual good lies in collectivity. Without providing for the comfort of the individual through proper food, light, air, accommodation, and medical treatment, collective good can never be accomplished. So it is with the sole intention of doing collective good that one will have to devote oneself to individual good. The development of the collective mind is impossible without developing a proper social consciousness. Encouraging a sense of social service and awakening knowledge in every individual. So, inspired with the thought of doing good to the collective mind, one has to do good to the individual mind. Absence of spirituality and spiritual morality in an individual will break the backbone of the collectivity. So, for the sake of collective good, one will have to awaken spirituality in individuals. One or two powerful, learned, or worldly wise people, or one or two spiritualists, do not indicate advancement and progress of the whole society. the body, mind, and self of every individual have the potential for limitless expansion and development. This potentiality has to be harnessed and brought to fruition. Quote ended. In this episode of Proud Consciousness, we have examined the third fundamental principle of Proud. There should be maximum utilization of physical, metaphysical, and spiritual potentialities of unit and collective bodies of human society. The following episode, 14, examines Proud's emphasis on proper adjustment of utilization. That is all for this episode. Thank you and goodbye for now.
You have been listening to Proud Consciousness, a podcast series on the fundamentals of the progressive utilization theory. All episodes, their texts, as well as further material on Prout can be found at proutglobe.org/pod. Inquiries communicated via the website will be responded to.